This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A grammar-free world may seem like a dream come true to anybody who's ever had to diagram a sentence on a blackboard. Not that many of today's students have ever had to endure that particular torture. Teaching grammar and style, parts of speech, types of sentences, and wordplay has long been out of fashion. Just don't tell that to the budding playwrights, poets, and kazoo players in Marianne Ginger's Grammarama class at UNC. They're putting on a pageant tonight to celebrate the semester's worth of mastering grammar. The goal of Grammarama is to offer students a deeper understanding of language. It teaches them how to write and how to listen to their native tongue with greater powers of articulation and perception. Marianne Ginger joins us now to talk about the class and the state of grammar. Marianne, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Hey, nice to be here, Frank.
And you brought your students with you, at least some of them, a few Grammarama students. Going to give us previews of tonight's performances. Rami Mize, Mark Abadi, Brandon Ralphison, and Andrew Weskowski. Welcome to all of you. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Marianne, you've been teaching Grammarama for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
What's the point? What are you trying to
do? Well, what's the point? Well, the torch was passed to me by my colleague Daphne Athis, who invented this class in the early 70s. And I heard it back then as I was a graduate student, was fascinated. And after she retired from teaching it, I begged her to bring it back when I was director of creative writing because I thought it filled a niche in the creative writing program that didn't exist. In that it's about poetry, it's about narrative, it's about music, it's about cadence. So it's just a hybrid course that excites many students.
It's interesting that, I mean, she brought this course back, in a sense, the idea of grammar back in the 1970s, right?
Right.
Okay, so that means that we've been missing this for a long, long time.
Right. It went out of favor in the 60s to teach grammar, and I think that what happened is grammar sort of, it was being taught by sticklers, or it was, you know, there were just rules, and it became Dullesville. I was grammar phobic.
Yeah.
Daphne and this whole approach to understanding grammar really excited me and refreshed my whole idea of what the purpose of grammar really is. If someone had told me when I was in eighth grade diagramming sentences that someday I would be teaching a class like this, I would have laughed.
Well, and the problem was when we were taught to diagram sentences, and I still have swollen knuckles for, you know, the errors that I made, it was because it was about itself and never about the language, using the language. That's what Daphne has done and what
you
brought forward. So tell us now how these skits, that the students have written these skits and they're going to perform them tonight. Right?
Yes.
Tell us about them and how that changes things, how that puts grammar in context.
Well, by breaking some grammar rules and writing about grammar in a very creative way, in a skit format, let's say, or a dramatic monologue, the students are learning something about grammar sleight of hand. But then when they actually perform the pieces and they hear how it's working, it's a magic trick. And they really start learning more in a fun way than they've ever learned before just looking at a book.
Learning what grammar does, how it
actually
facilitates communication
exactly.
and not teaches you to diagram a sentence. So let's do one now, and maybe
All right.
can tell us about it, because we're going to hear Rami Mize now, Mark Abadi, and Andrew Weskowski, and they're going to do a skit called Stick Up.
Stick.
Stick.
And it's a verbal wordplay skit, and it's the object of the assignment is to take a common verb and play with that verb in all of its verbal forms, participles, gerunds. Also, to find sound-alike words to insert. So let's hear them do this.
Let's hear it.
I don't know. I don't like this. This seems like it could turn into a sticky situation.
Don't worry. We're way out in the sticks. Just stick with the plan. All right, we're going in.
Welcome to Stick Low, where we always stick to our low prices.
Stick your hands in the air, people. This is a stick-up. Don't stick out. Just stick to what I say. All right, now stick all the money in the bag, lady.
Yeah, stick it in the bag.
And nobody make any sudden moves, or I'll stick some lead in ya.
Yeah, or I'll stick you, too.
You've got to be sticking me. You brought a stick. A stick.
You said it was a stick up. What was I supposed to bring?
I don't know. A rock would be better than a stick.
Why do you have to be such a stickler? It's oak.
Can you guys stick to what you were doing? My shift's over soon, and I don't want to stick around longer than I need to. And stop sticking that gun in my face. It's rude.
Hey, who stuck a stick up your rear end? If you don't stick to being quiet, I'm going to take this stick and play stickball with your face.
Hey, breadsticks, I'm hungry.
Stick for brain. Stick with the program. All right, lady, stick all the money in the bag.
I can't open the register unless you make a purchase.
Are you stinking serious? Stickhead, pick out something to buy.
Oh, what should I buy? Oh, Stick's greatest hits. Oh, sticks of gum, they're only 25 cents.
That's fine, ring it up, lady.
That'll be 26 cents with tax.
There's the government sticking it to you with their taxes.
Your money is in the bag.
What's this? 50 bucks? That's it?
Didn't you see the sticker? We only stick $50 in the register.
Lyle, we gotta break like a stick and get out of this place. Lickety split.
Yeah, lickety split. Just like the plan.
You forgot your stick. Amateurs.
Rami Mize, Mark Abadi, and Andrew Wiskowski with a stick, I should say skit, from tonight's performance, Grammarama, Never Stuck for Words. Nice job. So let me ask you, let's start with Mark. Mark, you know, what did you learn from this?
Well, Grammarama, more than anything, taught me about the musicality of language, because a lot of our skits are not just playing with grammar, but the music of speech. So one I think that we're going to see later in the program is one where we're only allowed to communicate with kazoos. So it's really about focusing on the intonation of your voice and how you're going to convey meaning without actually using words.
How about playing with these words, the one word, stick, Rami? Before and after, how did things change for you after you did this skit?
Well, I'd say that, you know, you think about language and, you know, how it can be very static. You know how to say what you want to say, and you get really familiar with that. And then this language just helped you really play with it, and you find all kinds of a new kind of dynamism in what you're saying. And so just playing off of one word, you see just the magnitude of the English language.
And that, Marianne, I would think for interpreting literature as well is pretty important, to realize that words do have an absolute value, but they also have relative values.
Absolutely. Well, we say that this course refreshes the writer's toolbox and pays homage to the eight parts of speech. So when we concentrate on verbs, like we did in this, we're learning how to use verbs in lots of different refreshing ways.
Andrew, about the whole process of studying grammar. I mean, were you sort of grammar phobic when you came into this? The idea that you would...
Oh, yeah. We take a quiz the first day of class to show, our knowledge of grammar. We're given a quiz, and I bombed it. Oh, just big old F on that quiz. But over the course of the class, you begin to see, we study grammar, and I think the value of it is you begin to see how your language works. And then as a writer and as a future teacher, you're given a vocabulary to talk about the language that you use every day. And then you can use it more creatively after you understand it. You know, it's like in writing a lot, after you understand the rules, you can break the rules because you understand how they're working. So,
well, let's do another skit. We've got Rami Mize again, Mark Abadi. And this one, and this, I guess, Marianne, before we get into this, critical listening is important not only to interpret literature, but to interpret politics. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what we're going to hear. This one is a spoof of Texas Governor Rick Perry, right? What was the assignment?
Yes, it is. The assignment is to limit a speech being given by someone to conjunctions, interjections, if you want to, a few interrogative or demonstrative pronouns, and some conjunctive adverbs. And that's all.
Rami Mize, Mark Abadi, do you believe in science, Governor Perry?
Do you believe in science, Governor Perry?
Preposterous.
What?
Just inconceivable.
Really? Still?
Yes, of course, still.
But after all?
Never after all. Not afterwards and not before. Only always, both since before and forevermore.
So, like, who and which, specifically?
Like who? Like which? Like all. Even this. And that.
And those?
Oh, yep. Those too. All those. Consequently, as a result.
Well, on the contrary, no.
No?
Well, not necessarily either or, but perhaps both.
Oh, no, no, no. Not both. Neither this nor that. Only always.
But...
No ands or buts.
Well, maybe.
No maybe. Not never.
But science. Evolution.
Ha! Baloney. American jobs. God bless Texas.
Raimi Mize, Mark Abadi with a preview of tonight's Grammarama performance. So, Raimi, did you do any research? I mean, you know, we can all kind of joke about politicians, but then when you actually go back and read the speeches, or better yet, the transcripts of the press conferences, I mean, did you do any of that to get ready?
Yeah, certainly. And it's fun because, you know, we were sort of encouraged to really look at current politics in the class just because there's so much you can do with political jargon and just the way that politics, I mean, absolutely inherently manipulates language to really communicate a specific message. So yes, certainly a lot of research goes into these pieces. I think next we'll see a piece on Sarah Palin that I also wrote. So, you know, we both, you know, we all really like would watch a lot of videos, a lot of interviews, and then would take all of that into account while writing these pieces.
Andrew, how did it change for you? I mean, we're all maybe, and I can only guess this, you probably have a little skepticism about any kind of commercial or a politician. Mm-hmm. When you do this kind of study and you do this kind of exercise, what does it do? Does anything change in your understanding of what's happening in those messages?
Because you understand how different sentences work. One thing in particular I'm thinking of is like the passive voice, and you know how you don't need to necessarily indicate who's doing the action and stuff. But it just gives you lots of tools to understand the mechanics of language when you do sit down and think about it. But Raimi and some of the other members of the class who aren't here really nailed it on the political speeches. They
foretained. By the way, was written by Noah Crossan, who mm-hmm. isn't here with us today, but did a wonderful job.
What about for you, Marianne? You've been teaching for a long time. You certainly understand the nuts and bolts of language, but now you listen and you're going over these, you know, new student scripts. Do your ideas change? Do you get new insights?
Oh, absolutely. I find this the most inspirational class to teach. The ideas are just popping. And I learn as much during the semester, probably more than they do. And I'm having a wonderful time doing it.
Well, let's do another piece. And Raimi, this is one you wrote. First of all, tell us what kind of research you did. Because this one is called Alaska, the Foreign Country, right?
Yes.
And tell us about the research you did for this one.
Okay. So my research involved quite a bit of YouTube. It revolved some it involved some Saturday Night Live, certainly with Tina Fey. I was really just interested in the syntax of Sarah Palin's speech because, you know, whatever your beliefs may be, if you just listen to Sarah speak, you know, you find that the syntax is certainly jumbled. And so the exercise asked that we it's an exercise that involves nonsense writing and also to kind of riff off of different foreign languages and to sort of combine them in order to, you know, so that the speech is still understandable, but you really understand the nonsensicality of it. So I watched a ton of videos and really worked on my accent, but I didn't have to do much work, honestly, because her syntax is already does a job for me.
Got it all done. Raimi Mize, Mark Abadi, Brandon Ralphison in this one, Alaska, the Foreign Country.
We're here now live with Sarah Palin, who took time out of her busy schedule for this exclusive interview. She'll be speaking for the first time in unabashed Alaskanese, the national language of her native country, Alaska. Welcome, former Governor Palin. Thank you very much for being here with us today.
You betcha. Hooler out all your questions and I'll answer them. Yes, siria.
What are your thoughts on President Barack Obama's big government ideology?
Gute questioner. What are Izu Burmer actually wanting to accomplish after healing the planet? He is fighting to fake government more humongantic, to wreak your duelers and shun specializer tentrous hoo-haws, to wreak America weakish in a frightful, topsy-twirly, crangerous world. Terrorists are all about, don't you know?
You mentioned terrorists. Who are these terrorists, in your opinion?
Oh, pretty one. Crum de Histralis, u de Crushins, u de Chiwis. America has plenty hangry rabers, and blessed dear hearts, we gotta stop her damn come bamboozling our nation land.
I see. Well, now that you're officially not running for office, what do you plan to do next?
Ooh-wee, rowing vogue, probably. Oh, wait a minute, I already done did stat. But you know, the answer to that question is really what or won't I doing be? Insofar as I refuticate all liberal plan making on stack seduction, crop opportunity for laid being gotten, stealth pair conform, steal outs, abortion, and yep, whatever it takes to shore up North's economy.
All right, we've got time for one last question. What would you like to say to America at this point, if you could say anything at all?
Oh, I would say polls start for strippers and cross-country skiers. Sarah Palin for president, 2012.
You're not running for the presidency, former Governor Palin.
That's what you think.
There we go. Rami Mize and Mark Abadi, who gave us – yeah, you might have thought we had gone right to the news conference there. But no, here we are in our studio talking about Grammarama, an exercise where students put together skits and use language to look at the structure of language. So Marianne Ginger, there's this fear abroad that somehow today's youths – are mangling the language, and that's interfering with thought, and they just don't think clearly. I mean, to what extent? I mean, is that true? Let me just ask that question.
It depends on who you're talking about. I know there's a lot of sense out there that students are less communicative and less verbal, and tweets are shorter, and everything's, you know, going electronic and whatnot. But I find the students that I work with are very much keen on the written word and the spoken word. Spoken word's really big, and I think that's one of the reasons this course appeals to a lot of students, that they recognize the power of words once they're heard as well as just on the page.
Mark, do you get a sense, just talking with your peers, having gone through this process, that there is a problem with clarity? Do you feel differently about your communication with your peers?
That's an interesting question, because I'm actually a linguistics major, so I'm into sociolinguistics a lot. And while I do think it's true that language has changed a lot in the past, say, half century, I don't necessarily think that there's any problem with clarity or that our messages are being harder to understand, something like that. And I think the last skit we performed was good evidence of that, because probably two-thirds of the words that Rami said weren't actual words, and there was still no problem with clarity there.
Yeah, well, and that of course, becomes the problem of propaganda, the idea that you're going to draw from the speaker what it is you want to hear. So the more ambiguous you are, sometimes the more successful you are.
Yeah.
Not true in writing and not true in literature when you want to be clear about something.
Right.
Let's take a listen to something that I think kind of is a pretty good example of what you just talked about, Mark. This is a famous clip from the movie Airplane. Barbara Billingsley agrees to act as interpreter in the movie Airplane. Let's listen.
Can I get you something?
It's your mofo butter laying me to the bone, jacking me up. Take me.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Cuddy say can't hang.
Oh, stewardess. I speak jive.
Oh, good.
He said that he's in great pain and he wants to know if you can help him.
All right. Would you tell him to just relax and I'll be back as soon as I can with some medicine?
Just hang loose, blood. She's going to catch up on the rebound on the med side.
What it is, big mama. My mama raised no dummies. I duck a rap.
Cut me some slack, Jack.
Say, cut it.
Chump don't want to help. Chump don't get the help.
There we go. Barbara Billingsley, late of Leave it to Beaver, acting as interpreter. But I think this gets to a point. We've only got about 30 seconds left, Marianne. But that there, the difference between very clear alternative language and the lack of clarity. The people who understand that language, there is a syntax. It's a real language.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And there's real understanding of nonsense because of context.
We're going to talk more about that with my guest, Marianne Ginger, professor of English at UNC. Also, her students, Rami Mize, Mark Abadi, Brandon Ralphison, and Andrew Wiskowski. On the state of things, our conversation about Grammarama continues in a moment. Stay tuned. This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio, talking today about grammar. We're having a pretty good time, too, so stick with us. We want to ask you to diagram any sentences. My guest, Marianne Ginger, professor of English at UNC. She teaches a very popular course, Grammarama, and she's brought along a few of her students, and they're going to give us a preview of tonight's pageant. Rami Mize, Mark Abadi, and Brandon Ralphison. Also, Andrew Wiskowski was with us in the last segment as well. Marianne, this course has become very popular. Why do you think that is?
Because it's fun, ultimately, and because I think students have a sense of they're learning something, but they're also enjoying what they're doing. It's also a very collaborative course, and it's the only class in the creative writing curriculum that is truly collaborative in that they work together in small groups to create these skits. Sometimes they write original exercises based on the textbook, some element of grammar in the textbook that hasn't been explored by an exercise. So there's a great range of things to do in the class that I think appeals to students who are looking for a different experience.
Well, let's go to another skit right now. One assignment, Brandon, you can talk about this, a chance to show off not just your facility with language, but also the guitar. This is called Dodge Ford. Tell us about the assignment.
Mark's going to be playing the guitar for us, and he actually wrote the music to it on his own. But it was a lot of fun because we took the convention of a passive voice and applied it to a particular situation. And the great thing about passive voice is you can apply it to just pretty much any situation and end up with a very funny outcome. So I decided to take the idea of like a Western showdown.
Passive voice is very much liked by me. well, let's hear it now. This is Dodge Ford, right?
Correct.
Deep in the desert is Dodge Ford. He's a runaway man who by the law is deplored. The desert is being ridden through by Dodge Ford. He's loved by all the ladies and envied by the Lord. Deep in the desert is Dodge Ford. It is liked by him to have his whiskey poured. Dodge Ford, Dodge Ford, Dodge Ford, Dodge Ford.
Dodge Ford. So what did we learn from that?
Well, it's not over yet.
There's more.
There's more.
Okay.
Good evening, Dodge Ford.
Evening, Sheriff.
I'm told by the townsfolk that trouble has been caused by you.
Is it thought by you that the troublemaking type is what I am, Sheriff?
It is not known by me whether it is thought by me that the troublemaking type is what you are. It is known by me that it is said by the townsfolk that yesterday at 12:30, a horse was ridden by you through town whilst your clothes were not being worn.
And is it thought by you that a horse was ridden through town by me whilst my clothes were not being worn, Sheriff?
It is not known by me whether a horse was ridden through town by you whilst your clothes were not being worn. However, it is known by me that your clothes are still not being worn, and that over there to my right, your horse is tied.
It was thought by me that the day was too hot for dressing. Draw!
Dodge Ford, Dodge Ford.
Point made. Point made. Point made. You even had a hard time reading that. It's so backward. You're trying to be in character of a tough, very direct, right? I mean, that's the whole point of being an hombre. You just, and you can't do it.
Yeah, I really love this exercise because one thing as a writer that you're always told from when you first learn about grammar is like, never speak in the passive voice and in Strunk and White in every grammar book that you look at. And this is totally subverting that to hilarious effect.
Oh, it is. It is. And of course, it's always a dodge. I mean, you should pardon the pun here, but the fact is when you're writing in passive voice, it means you're trying, you're scared. I mean, so writers, I'm sure you teach, you know, your students to say, explore that. Why are you afraid?
Yeah, it's about objectifying your noun. And it's also about not taking responsibility for the action.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is how political speech works.
Exactly.
There is, on the other hand, this kind of so we talked about alternative languages, slang and that sort of thing, having their own structure and being clear. And we can see what happens when you use forms that are bad. It doesn't work. But there is another fear and another kind of misunderstanding or I guess fear that's expressed these days about youth speak, and that is that it seems to be very unclear and not not sure of itself. And I think maybe Alicia Silverstone's role in Clueless might give us the best sample of that. Let's listen.
So, okay. Like right now, for example, the Haitians need to come to America. But some people are all, what about the strain on our resources? But it's like when I had this garden party for my father's birthday, right? I said RSVP because it was a sit-down dinner. But people came that, like, did not RSVP. So I was, like, totally bugging. I had to haul ass to the kitchen, redistribute the food, squish in extra place settings. But by the end of the day, it was like, the more, the merrier. And so, if the government could just get to the kitchen, rearrange some things, we could certainly party with the Haitians. And in conclusion, may I please remind you that it does not say RSVP on the Statue of Liberty.
I mean, do you worry, Raimi, that there is something about speech these days that is obtuse and not helping us understand or express ourselves clearly?
I think certainly, and it definitely has a lot to do with perhaps your amount of TV exposure or, you know, what exactly you spend your time doing. So if you were kind of raised without TV in your life, you know, you would probably focus a lot more on reading or something like that, and that would inherently inform your own language and ability for writing, especially. And that sort of ties directly into the title of our show this evening. It's called Gramovision, Kill Your TV. So just sort of encouraging, you know, that sort of creative activity rather than sort of a more static activity.
But Marianne, there are writers for TV plots, and millions of people watch TV, suggesting that they do understand what's going on. So
some of them are very talented. There's some wonderful shows on TV, but I think probably over the years, TV in general, by reality shows, let's say, has been dumbed down. It doesn't have to be dumbed down. It didn't start out dumbed down, but it has been, and I think there's a real hunger among the television audience, really, for more articulate scripts and better writing all around.
I've got 2 minutes left. Do we have time for another skit? It's got to be kind of a minute or so.
Let's do
a
Wolf.
Version? Okay. Do Wolf. Do it in a minute.
This is a skit about, this is Puns. It's by Carrie Simpson. And I think the readers, listeners will enjoy this.
All right. Watch my cue because I may have to stop you. Go ahead.
Well, hey, y'all. Welcome back to my cooking program. Today we're going to learn how to grill a wolf, okay, y'all? You're going to take one fresh Southern Mountain wolf. I know some prefer the Virginia wolf, but we always use a wolf from up near Asheville. But don't be upset if you can't catch one, since you can always substitute with Grisham if wolf is scarce. You're also going to need half a cup chopped Charles Brand chestnut and 1 cup melted Welty. Don't you just Eudora it? You're going to need 2 bottles of Faulkner rum, 1 cup of huckleberry juice, and yes, the twains shall meet, y'all, and a small ginger root. And you're going to need 4 fried green tomatoes for garnish. Now to start, you're going to want to grease your grill with the melted Welty. Then I use my Aunt Margaret's marinade, which is a mixture of the rum, huckleberry juice, and 1 teaspoon of chopped ginger. Be sure to let it soak long past midnight in the garden of good and evil. Oh, and don't forget, for maximum heat on your grill, light in August. Now, you're going to want to cook your wolf until the good man you were looking for is no longer hard to find. We're almost done, you good country people. Now, when your wolf is thoroughly cooked, top with chopped chestnut, serve over fried green tomatoes, and serve your guests Flannery a la Capote or Look Homeward Angel food cake for dessert.
Raimi Mize, one of the students who will be at Gramorama tonight. Also my guest, Marianne Ginger, professor of English at UNC. Students Raimi Mize, Mark Boddy, Brandon Ralphison. Thank you all for being on The State of Things. Gramorama students, tonight's performance, Gramovision, Kill Your TV, the Wilson Library, starts at 5:30. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.